First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to a whole new week of Spouting Off. We do this Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern out of our from our flagship station, 1590 AM WSMN and 95.3 FM Nashua, New Hampshire. Well, 3 weeks, you heard the news, 3 weeks before the midterms, and has there ever been any more speculation and polling and thising and thatting? I just look at it and I say, if you believe all the posturing, you know, you're a better man than me. I'm fascinated to watch all the posturing and the polling, which I don't believe one way or the other, because they're called push polls. If you want to give the impression that somebody is behind or ahead, it's all used to try to manipulate or sway or mold opinion. The only way to do your part, and I hate to sound like a cliche, is vote. Vote. If you feel strongly about these issues, vote. Even if you think there's shenanigans going on, which, by the way, it's not illegal to think. It's not illegal to say. It's not illegal to question. As I remember, the Constitution actually encourages and protects our rights to question and to think independently. Don't let anybody tell you that you're bizarre, weird, strange, or otherwise minority opinion is somehow a threat to democracy because you have it. And guess what? You're allowed to change it as you wish. And I know, I don't know why I have to remind people of this. I don't think I have to remind my listeners of this, but I'm pretty sure we have to remind the left of this because they've instituted a whole new agenda for America, which has to do with my way or the highway. Before I get into that, and I have a fascinating story to share with you about that very thing, I first want to share a little bit of audio with you apropos of the midterms and the debates and everything. The left, which owns the media, or maybe the media owns the left, I'm not sure which, they consistently, regularly, constantly, and without many exceptions at all, put out news, couch news, and proliferate news based on whether and how it will help the left and the Democrats, which right now, sadly, are the same thing. They didn't always used to be. So if there are debates that are being pushed, and if you see them on your left-wing news sites, whether it's CNN, MSNBC, and a host of others, you know, it's probably in order to help the left to smear and they give the Trump treatment to every Republican now. And so, like, how is it any different what they do to Trump? It's just been more outrageous and unfair because Trump poses one of the greatest threats to the left. So they have to keep hammering him, thinking that they're going to destroy his support, which, you know, just hasn't happened yet. So let me play for you a quick 6 seconds, which we might play throughout this program, because there was a Democrat who, when she had a, what the Democrats call a slip of the tongue, they didn't publicize it, but they also said, oh, she just had a slip of the tongue, right? Well, slips of the tongue are often what people really mean. Not always. You get to decide. You get to determine. But I'm just fascinated with this because finally, at least it sounds as if you consider what the facts in this case are. Sounds like this particular Democrat was caught accidentally telling the truth. Her name is Angie Craig. She is running for re-election for Congress in Minnesota, running against Tyler Kushner. And this is a quick 6 seconds, so don't miss it. We may have to loop it and have you play it again. Mr. Art, Mr. Producer, play that one for us, would you?
I will never stop standing up for Big Pharma and standing against my constituents.
Thank you, Ann.
Remember that the moderator was trying to help her, was trying to interrupt. You notice that? I've never seen a moderator try to help a Republican. Have you? I've never seen a fair moderator who has a history or a background in either anything remotely resembling fairness to both sides, or even a Republican background. No, the media really owns or is owned by the left. Let's hear that one more time.
I will never stop standing up for Big Pharma and standing against my constituents.
Thank you, Ann.
Standing against her constituents. She will never stop standing up for Big Pharma, which, remember, the left used to be totally against. They used to talk about it. Now they have protected Big Pharma from any prosecution for a host of things, which, by the way, some of which we're going to get into. Sometimes guests tend to be speaking on similar subjects. We try to do a broad range, but in this particular show, we're going to be doing a deep dive on some of these things on medical freedom. And you may have been watching that now, all of a sudden, after, what, a year and a half, we're finding out that Pfizer and some of these big pharma that she is standing up for have not, never tested whether their experimental shot, which is now causing grave danger and possible death to people, they never tested it, whether it would actually prohibit or stop COVID. After they told us it was safe and effective, that all turns out to be a lie. And we'll be getting into that with our guest coming up. So she was caught telling the truth. Maybe it was a slip of the tongue. What I think was a slip of the tongue is that she was caught not saying what she was supposed to say. She was going to stand up for her constituents against Big Pharma? Well, no, the Democrats have fed their constituents to Big Pharma. And like Steven Crowder says, change my mind. Look at the facts. Look at how they have fed us all to Big Pharma after lecturing us that Big Pharma was taking us down the primrose path to destruction. Now, I want to get into, in our 5 or so minutes left, the other issue, one of those seemingly small issues. Nothing's small anymore because it has massive repercussions and you can look at it in a larger context of the kind of change of attitude that we've seen from the left and their enablers in the Republican Party as having been a sea change in the way that they view their constituents, a sea change in the way they view fundamental God-given rights like free speech, the right to dissent, the right to petition our government for redress of grievances, to peacefully get together, which is that language, to peaceful assembly. All of that is now seen as you're a threat to democracy if you say what we don't like. You're a threat to democracy if you peacefully protest. But if you burn down a Wendy's, that's peaceful protest if they're protesting on something that is our agenda. This is something that I found so very typical. Reporting on Fox News, Fox 29 in Philadelphia. Let me just get to that article here, which is that campaign signs during the midterms were found on people's lawns. The important thing here is they never gave their permission. People put their own signs, always Democrats, Democrat signs were put on people's lawns. They were not asked for permission. It is quite possible that those people were Republican, but Democrats put and forced and put signs, I'm repeating this for a reason, yard signs on their lawn. Here's the kicker. When people tried to remove those signs, they were booby-trapped with razor blades. How about that? Booby-trapped political signs with razor blades being put on people's lawns against their consent. Whether they agreed or not, they did not give their consent, and quite possibly they would not have given their consent. Why is this so important? Why is this something that we ought to pay attention to? Number one, I defy you to tell me anytime, even the Republicans that enable the Democrats and the Republican Party, I defy you to give me an example of any conservative or Republican who's done that to Democrats. Hasn't happened. And yet in the radical left that now controls the Democrat Party, they have telegraphed, they have incited, they have validated and normalized the whole idea that you have no choice. You will believe what we tell you, you will promote what we tell you, and if you refuse or dare to disagree with that, we're going to inflict punishment on you. We're going to frame you. We're going to defame you. Frame you and defame. I love the alliteration or the poeticism there. We're going to frame you and defame you. We're going to imprison you or incite others to do even worse to you with our groups that will tell you that not only do you have to lose your job for disagreeing, for daring to stand up as either a Christian or a believing Jew or anybody who, I don't know, wants to make a living and put food on their table and be a law-abiding citizen. We are now the people that are under attack right now. If you refuse or dare to disagree, we're going to inflict punishment upon you. That is what this whole example of yard signs tells you. Does that mean every Democrat feels that way? No, but if they are not standing up against this kind of punishment for disagreement, punishment for dissent, demonizing people, canceling people because they dare to think differently, a party that used to extol the virtues of thinking differently, but now marches in goose step with whatever their so-called betters tell them to do, then they are accessories to this kind of crime against the Constitution. Every Democrat who is a Democrat at all should be standing up, not unlike Tulsi Gabbard, who says, wait a minute, and she said this in her video, it's on my website, KarenCataline.com, they no longer believe in free speech. What is a yard sign? It is your free speech on your private property. Well, for one thing, they don't believe in private property either. They do not believe in dissent. How many cultures, how many horrible tyrannical regimes have tried to control what people think, what people say, what people believe, and deciding that all must believe the same? I seem to remember during the Romans' time when the Jewish people were told they were not allowed to practice their religion. In other times, when people decided this is going to be the day of the Sabbath, and if you refuse to work on the Sabbath, and if you believe it's Saturday instead of Sunday, we're going to take you to jail and punish you. So we're going to demand what you think, and we're going to command that you believe it or we will punish you. That's archaic. It's backwards. It's anything but progressive. and it is extra constitutional. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, we're going to have a terrific guest. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline. And if you'd like to read more, I've got a bunch of new stuff on my website, KarenCataline.com. Well, at the beginning, at the advent of the, what I call the jump the shark moment of COVID, 3 years, we're going on 3 years now, and we all lived this nightmare together, in which the government proclaimed that it has a totally new relationship with all of us. That's part of what happened during COVID. So you may remember one of the stars of that period, a whole group of people who have been persecuted, prosecuted, one of them even put in jail. Outrageous, but so be it. That's what's been going on. So a group called the American Frontline Doctors. And one of the stars that emerged from that, America's Frontline Doctors, who was demonized, mocked, you name it, she's sustained it, at least, you know, part of it, is Dr. Stella Emanuel. She is a doctor, an MD, a pastor, and has not been deterred in speaking out about medical issues for which politicians have suddenly appointed themselves doctors to tell us what is and is not allowed. We have her on the program right now. Delighted to have her, Dr. Stella Emanuel. Thank you for joining us here on Spouting Off.
So thank you for having me. It's an honor. Yeah.
Well, it's an honor to talk to you, and I just talked to you on another one of the programs I do a couple of weeks ago. It gives us an opportunity to delve deeper. Why don't we start with the fact that more and more information is coming out now about the safety and the efficacy of these vaccines, which those of us who've been watching to, shall we call it, alternative media, knew all along, and we were all called conspiracy theorists. Now the so-called mainstream media is letting certain things slip out that the efficacy and the safety, which, of course, if you were alive and watching, you knew, because people who got the jab got sick from COVID. Some of them ended up in the hospital. So if you would start there with us and comment about what you see happening today, as opposed to what happened 2.5, 3 years ago, when you were saying the same things then that you're saying now.
Yeah, right now, I think the whole lies begin to catch up with most people. Although there are many people that are still sleeping, but many people have woken up to the fact that the vaccines don't really work. And there was a study that was done in UK that showed that all the vaccines over a period of time are 100% not working. And in children's bodies, within 14 weeks, the vaccine is gone. So, but they are still pushing it. They are still demanding that people get vaccines, and they are still finding ways to push this vaccine. And the worst part is, you know, them giving this vaccine to our children. Children don't really suffer from COVID. They get, if they are infected, they usually are just like a sink. It gets them, but they don't get sick. Or, you know, we've seen over 120,000 patients. Very few of them were children, and usually just from freaked out mothers. There should be no reason for them to give children this vaccine. Thank God for the Surgeon General of Florida, Dr. Latipo, that has come out to say that boldly. I wish other Surgeon Generals, I wish other governors would stand up. I wish other politicians would be willing to stand up and say no. You know, I was talking to a bunch of doctors that were like, well, maybe the vaccine worked. Well, we knew that, yeah, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin works, but I think the vaccine works too. I see. You see, the issue with you guys is that you're supposed to have been the buffer between the tyrannical government and the people. But y'all, because you just follow science, which doesn't make any sense, and you allowed a tyrannical power to destroy people and kill people, and most of you are still talking about follow the science. It's been
Dr.
Like
Emanuel, let me,
you know?
Let me interject something there, because some of the evidence suggests that these hospitalists, these people who have not ever seen a patient, and the government have entered into an unholy alliance in which they were giving money to give remdesivir. They were giving money to put people on ventilators. They were given money to diagnose COVID when it was like a motorcycle accident. So it's even more sinister, because you're talking about, well, bribery.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like money came from the top, way from like WHO and maybe the World Economic Forum. And it did not just come to our country. It went to like every country. So there were all these young doctors that were like, you know, we hear this hydroxychloroquine works, ivermectin works, we want to give patients, but there are always some older doctors and hospital administrators that will say, no, you can't do that in this hospital. And most times, if you don't have a hospital protocol, you cannot use the medication. People died in the hospital crying for hydroxychloroquine, crying for ivermectin, and they refused to give them, but they gave them remdesivir, knowing how toxic remdesivir is. Many people that could have lived if they did not put them on remdesivir and a ventilator. And they killed a lot of our people. That's demonic. It's not just an unholy alliance. It's a demonic alliance. Because people like
Fauci, terrifying.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Let me just say that in line with that behavior that we've been watching, there's evidence upon circumstantial evidence. We've seen the same group of people who forced rags on our face, who forced people to take an experimental drug that they injection they did not want, also ignored and have continued to ignore and change the story in favor of the agenda that they wanted. They ignored all the evidence. Latest thing, I want to get your thought on this, that I just saw a news story today. I couldn't believe my eyes, but yes, I could. COVID-19, like the disease, may decrease male fertility. Here's what you need to know. They don't say the vaccine decreases.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They are saying that COVID-19 decreases male fertility so they can divert attention once again from the vaccine and give another excuse to have people take it. If you do not take mm-hmm. this vax, you'll have male fertility, when the exact opposite is true. If you do take the vax, you will have male infertility. Speak about that, because yes, it is.
We've known from the beginning. We've known from the beginning that COVID-19 itself can cause infertility. The vaccine is even worse because it's sterilizing people. But here's the issue: COVID-19 itself was a bioweapon, and COVID-19, I call, is a Trojan horse for the vaccine. And of course, the vaccine is a Trojan horse for transhumanism and human 2.0. So whatever it is that they will do and say, so that somebody can go and get jabbed, they will. They never expected that two years plus ago, we were going to come out at the steps of the Supreme Court and scream to the world that COVID is treatable. So when that happened, it was like a watershed moment. The dam broke and they couldn't force it, the water back in. And because of that, they've been trying all kinds of ways to convince people to take this vaccine. And when people are going to be refusing it, they will be trying other ways to put the vaccine in food. I hear they're trying to vaccinate cows. It's ridiculous. Mm. So humanity has to wake up. That's just the bottom line. Many people have been sterilized with the vaccine. Many people are dying. People are dropping dead, Ms. Karen. They're just dropping dead. And athletes are dropping dead. Young people are dropping dead. And somebody's like, we don't know. Since when? Do you have a time when young people at any age group are just dying for no reason, and we don't know, and nobody's panicking over it? You know what I'm saying?
No, fact, hysteria. There's hysteria about mm-hmm. Insane, stupid things, but when people are dying, young people are dying, everybody's going, oh, well, we're living in an upside-down world. Yeah.
Can you imagine a 17-year-old having a heart attack, an 11-year-old having a heart attack? I was a pediatrician. I worked as a pediatrician for years before I started mm-hmm. working in the emergency room. Children don't get heart attacks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't. So for you hearing children getting heart attacks all over the place, the age group of like 18 to 45 usually are given this really cheap insurance at work. Right now, insurance companies are paying so much death benefits out. I'm telling you, we are in Revelation 6. In Revelation 6, the fourth seal is death. And death, people die with famine. People die from pestilences or beasts of the earth. People die from hunger. And people die from death. I'm like, what is death? Is this sudden adult death syndrome that we're seeing right now? The Bible already said all this stuff. And now they are preparing us for famine. They are preparing for Europe to freeze, blowing the pipeline. The war in Ukraine is a senseless war we shouldn't even be involved in. I actually say that it's a proxy war with NATO. And they are doing all this stuff, and the world is watching in horror. And nobody can stop this global elite from doing what they are doing, except God helps us. Only God can help us out of this situation. Because even people try to resist, and then they get sick, and what do? They'll have to cower back in. So my advice to the American people is, number one, make sure you have hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet. Don't wait to get sick. Don't wait till you can't breathe. Get it now. Go to your doctor. If your doctor says they cannot give it to you, go on our website, drsellermd.com, get a telemedicine appointment, which we can do in all 50 states, and get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet. Make sure you have it in your medicine cabinet. Many people have died in the hospital because they didn't have this medicine. The second thing I'll tell people, we're all hearing about nuclear war. I advise everybody. I don't know. There are many people that grew up in the era of the Cold War, and most people had potassium iodide in their medicine cabinet. Get potassium iodide. Put it in your medicine cabinet. If we get nuked and you're in the epicenter of it, you're gone. So make sure that you're spiritually prepared. Give your life to Christ. Make sure that if you die today, you don't end up in hell. But if you're out of the nuked area, you're going to need potassium iodide to protect your thyroid and to protect you from uptaking radiation. So everybody get potassium iodide. I don't know where you can find it anywhere, but if you go on our website, we have it on drsellermd.com.
Dr. Emmanuel.
I want people to do, yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt you there. Go ahead.
The third thing that I want people to do is to be prepared. Yes. If you have, get food, water, flashlights, lamps, everything that you need on a daily basis. If they continue this nonsense and we get a nuclear attack, the first thing, the grid is going to go down. Many people will die from not having food, water, and disease. So make sure that you have food, you have water, you have lanterns, charcoal grills, you know, where you can cook outside and put some twigs in it. Make sure you buy grains like rice and beans and everything and stock it up. Stock up medications. Uh-huh. If you're on diabetes medication or high blood pressure medication, make sure you have it stocked up. They are working on the central bank digital currency. If the BRICS nations succeed in what they are doing, the American dollar will fall. Make sure you get your money out of the system into gold, silver, and commodities. So these are all, if we are telling people it's good to be prepared and be prepared now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till things get crazy. Don't be caught. Let's not be caught up again. I always tell people, never again should we be caught up like we got caught up before. But people are just sleeping right now and thinking, COVID is gone. There's no such thing as COVID is gone. COVID is endemic. We're living with it. So winter is coming. There's going to be flu. There's going to be COVID and all kinds of colds. Don't look at it like, well, I have a cold. It's just a regular cold. Make sure you have hydroxychloroquine. There's no such thing as a regular cold anymore in our generation right now. Make sure you get treated early. Because if you wait and think it's just a regular cold, by the time you realize it might be COVID or whatever bioweapon that they are releasing, it might be a little too late. So my advice is now, America, get hydroxychloroquine, get ivermectin in your medicine cabinet. Be prepared. That is my cry right now.
And I can hear the passion in your voice. Dr. Stella Emanuel, with just about a minute left, tell us about your book, Let America Live. Doesn't sound like an outrageous request, but tell us about
this
book.
Generation, right?
Yeah. Let America Live. It's not really radical, but nowadays, you don't know. Tell us very quickly about that book. We maybe got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's a book that it was like my journey in all this exposing the wicked agenda that we're living in. It has prayer points that you can use to pray for the nation and for yourself. It has protocols. It's an amazing book. It's a manual. And you can get it on our website, drstellamd.com. And listen, be prepared, be prayed up. Just make sure that if anything happens, you're ready, whether spiritually, medically, or financially, in every way, be prepared.
Dr. America. Stella Emanuel, she has been on the forefront. And you can get her book if you are interested. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Emanuel.
Thank you, Mr.
My pleasure, our pleasure. When we come back, we're going to extend this discussion a little bit. I'll tell you how and when and why in just a minute. Stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and The Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. Such important issues that we talk about around here, at least we think so. If you have thoughts or questions or comments, please don't hesitate to email me at, it's very easy to remember, Karen. Yes, I'm a Karen. Karen at KarenCataline.com. I have one of my bumpers that says, Karen got her parents to name her Karen before she was born so she could grow up and be a punchline. And it's so funny to me, really. That's funny. Karen at KarenCataline.com. Well, let's move on, but we are not off that subject of healthcare, body autonomy, medical freedom, the patient's bill of rights. As you know, I have been very, very interested in this subject because I couldn't believe how attitudes changed as if overnight that the much of, not all, the medical establishment had a change of heart about the Hippocratic Oath, about the patient's Bill of Rights. Things seem to be changing at a dizzying pace. Somebody who has been on the forefront of that, we're going to get an update from him. Because he lived it. His name is Scott Shara, and his daughter, Grace, died in a hospital, and he believes, and you look at the evidence, that she was killed intentionally in the hospital, and you can look at the evidence, decide for yourself, and he has moved on to work on medical freedom issues on a very large scale. He's inspiring. And we're going to get an update about some things that he just put out right now. Scott Shara, thank you once again for joining us here on Spouting Off.
Boy, Karen, that was quite an introduction. I don't deserve it, but thank you very much.
Ah, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You've shown courage. You've shown guts. And we're living in a time in which people think you're not allowed to think stuff. You're not allowed to question stuff. And you've done just that and more. Let's just jump right in to the articles that you sent me. I'm going to give you just plenty of time as much as I can, to talk about these things that you put out. Numbers don't lie. And is COVID over? Because we were talking about a few of these things with a previous guest. And you just kind of top it off for us today on Spouting Off.
Well, thank you. So the COVID over situation is puzzling to me because, the propaganda continues. So on September 19th, just about everybody knows that President Biden announced that COVID is over. Well, there's the data that's available now is at your fingertips. So if you look at the actual data, so the week ending September 20th, which is one day after he announced that COVID is over, there were almost 29,000 new hospitalizations in the United States with COVID as a diagnosis, which has been, that's been consistent over the last 3 years. So it's not over at all. And what
can I just interject something there and say that a lot of leftists were terrified that he declared the so-called pandemic over, because that's been the vehicle for taking away our medical freedom, our personal freedom, every other one of our freedoms. And the left loves that people believe COVID isn't over. So how do we decide? What's the definition of over, first of all? What does that mean? Is the pandemic over, but we still have COVID? Or because that justifies them to do so many of the things that they've been doing to us.
Well, yeah, I mean, in my mind, when COVID is over is when people wake up and they don't let fear control them. That's how I would define it. But how the government defines it is specifically under the public health emergency. So this was a direct lie that President Biden said on September 19th, because on October 13th, which coincidentally is the anniversary of Grace's death, the public health emergency was renewed for another 90 days. And this has been going on since January 27th of 2020, the first time that COVID was announced as a public health emergency. So it just got renewed for another 90 days. So what does
that
mean?
Well, and that's why I love that Biden said it's over, because what do they need an emergency? Why do they have to keep pushing the public health emergency? Because they won't give up any power. That's why.
Well, bingo. And it, the power, what ends up happening, there's two very specific tangible things that happen from this extension. Number one is the PREP Act stays in existence. So the PREP Act gives immunity from liability for killing people. And I'm going to connect the dots with these killings and when we talk about the numbers don't lie. So it's,
explain
it's,
what the PREP Act is for those people. Scott, real quick, tell everybody what the PREP Act is so they can follow.
So the PREP Act came about as part of the CARES Act, and it was a specific piece of the law that covers immunity for liability if the medical professionals follow the protocol that the NIH has deemed the only acceptable treatment for COVID. So that's that's in a nutshell what the PREP Act is about.
Wow.
So this
so
public health emergency
be immune from prosecution, which I just want to say how interesting it is that they are avidly and actively going after gun manufacturers who manufactured a gun, but they want to shut them down with lawsuits. But they created full immunity to so-called big pharma that put together a drug specifically designed to do something that is now we're finding out didn't do.
Yeah, that's a great comparison, Karen. So then what ends up happening, the second piece of this extension keeps the bonus money flowing to hospitals. So in the first 22 months of COVID, there was roughly 4 million hospitalizations relative to COVID. And the average bonus that's paid, so once somebody gets a COVID diagnosis, there's a bonus. When they get labeled as a COVID death, there's a bonus. There's bonuses for remdesivir, ventilators, all kinds of different bonuses, all paid by the government. So they're getting paid to follow protocols. So those payments are now continued. So when you look out then, so roughly 3 weeks after the COVID was deemed over by the president, 1,085 people died from those hospitalizations that I said were for the week ending September 20th. 1,085 people died on October 5th. And it's been consistent. About 1,000 a day are being murdered in the hospitals following protocols. And
how do you get from they died in the hospital to being murdered in the hospital? What are you pointing to be able to say that?
Well, I'm pointing to the reality of what are the numbers behind this? And so on a macro view, the United States only has 4.3% of the population. We're the only country in the entire world with over a million deaths. We almost have 1.1 million deaths of people who died in hospitals with COVID. Number two is India, the second in the list of all the countries in the world with COVID deaths. Number two is India. They have just over 500,000. They have less than half the deaths of the United States. Their population is four times that of the United States, and their footprint on the planet is only one third that of the United States. So this doesn't make any sense until you realize what is the reason. And the NIH has deemed the two primary protocols that are followed in hospitals, you know, Grace died of a different protocol that is also allowed, but the two primary protocols that are allowed are remdesivir and ventilators. India does not have those as protocols, but remdesivir has a 75% kill rate with three doses and more. And the COVID protocol is five doses. Ventilators have a 90% kill rate, and ventilators should never be used with COVID. Never, never, never. But those are the prescribed protocols by our government. And the hospitals get bonus payments for following those protocols. So that's why I'm connecting the dots that
those are the facts.
Yes, are murder.
Regardless of how you conclude what the facts mean, what you're saying, just for our audience, is the facts show that these are the protocols that are continuing to be pushed, and you get to decide for yourself why you think that is. Something sinister has changed in America, where people who refuse certain protocols, refuse certain treatments, which is all a part of the patient's Bill of Rights. Every patient has a right to refuse treatment. We've talked about this, about the Nuremberg codes, with you before, but in the patient Bill of Rights, it says people are allowed. You know, if you can't force, for example, cancer treatment on someone, even if they're terminal, they have a right to decide or reject the treatment that is being presented to them. But in the hospital, as it relates to COVID, there are health so-called professionals who are forcing treatments on certain people, as did happened with your daughter, right?
Well, that's exactly what happened. And I'll give you some examples. I mean, this stuff is really mind-blowing when you drill it down. But you start, unfortunately, I started with, and most people start with, a trust for the white coat. So if you start with a trust for the white coat, which that really is my primary message, don't do
white
that.
White coat, your paradigm, you're saying. This your isn't a racial comment. For those listening, it's the white coat of medicine, everyone. Yeah, yeah. Just throwing that in. Okay, go ahead.
Well, thank you for that, Karen. That's good. I didn't catch that.
So, it sounded anyway, like you said white code. The way you pronounce white code. What's the white code? Are we talking about the Ku Klux Klan here? No, we're talking about the white coat of a physician. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so you trust that white lab coat. So, for example, when they were pushing the ventilator on us, and now, of course, I'm very wise to ventilators. Not only do they have a 90% kill rate, but the hospital receives about $300,000 when they put somebody on a ventilator. So there's a huge financial motivation to do it. Well, when we're in the hospital, I'm sitting in Grace's room with the hospitalist, and he says to me, well, wouldn't you, they're setting this up like this is such a bad thing. Well, if we would have never taken Grace in the hospital, she would be alive. So he says to me, well, at that point, they had told me that she only has a 20% chance of walking out alive if she's put on a ventilator. And he tells me on October 8th, this is Grace's second day in the hospital. She's doing great. And he says, well, wouldn't you rather have a 20% chance than no chance? Well, I mean, think through that, and you have a perception that you're supposed to trust this white lab coat, and he tells you that. I mean, you really have to be strong to realize this is not right what he's saying. But unfortunately, I still hadn't woken up that at that point that their goal was to take her out. And I just want to read something to you. This is the bias that's in the hospital, so people don't believe it. And this is literally the first day Grace was in the hospital, which was October 7th, written by the COVID expert on the floor. He referenced that Grace had Down syndrome. This is just one report. The first day he said she had Down syndrome four different times in that report, that we're Christian twice, that we're following the frontline doctor's misinformation campaign, and that Grace is not vaccinated twice. In fact, regarding the not vaccinated comment, he wrote specifically, unfortunately, I think the patient probably would not be here if she had been fully vaccinated. So just think about the bias that is there.
And now we know that now is not true and was reported back then, but a certain group of people just keeps on putting forth that lie, and they still are. They still are. Go ahead. Yeah. So he mentioned that you were Christian how many times? And there are many other times you've pointed out that he mentioned that in the notes numerous times. Same guy?
Right. This is just the first day. So during the 7 days that Grace was in the hospital, there was 22 doctors who visited her. And so each doctor writes a report. Well, they referenced that Grace had Down syndrome 36 different times in the seven days. I'm just was picking on the first report, the very first report from the first day. You know, of course, if you, didn't have this because they don't give it to you day by day. You get this after you request the records. But, you know, I wonder if I would have received this at the end of the day and see the bias, would I have been smart enough then to take Grace out? You know, just, you know, you replay this because, you know, she's your best buddy.
And I might add here, because we only have a few minutes left, and I want you to be able to plug whatever you're going to plug with medical freedom that you are working on. I just want to say, put this in the context of unexplainable. I mean, something that is, it is unfathomable that governors, not just Andrew Cuomo, but others, would have sent COVID to the most vulnerable people in nursing homes. And again, a reckless disregard for life itself. A bias that says some people are more equal than others and some people's lives are more important than others because we said so. And I might add, read Grace's story, because there you will hear that some of the doctors said that Grace was do not resuscitate and insisted that she was DNR, do not resuscitate, when the family pleaded with the doctors that she was not DNR and please save her life. So I just wanted to point that out. And forgive me, we have like 2 minutes, Scott Schar, and I hope that you were able to put out these articles and tell people. But where do people go who really do believe in medical freedom and the patient's bill of rights and the Nuremberg codes and the fact that physicians and medical establishments are being corrupted by something very untoward going on? We just don't know. Where can they go to learn more and to maybe get active on this issue?
Well, we have a fairly extensive resource link on Grace's website, which is ouramazinggrace.net. So then you can start finding professionals in your area, for example, that will still believe in the Hippocratic Oath. And you know, you have to get wise to this. Otherwise, your family's not protected. So that's where a lot of my work has gone now, is to, as I'm learning things, let's get the resources on the website. I believe the next pursuit is going to be with legislation. You reference the DNR. I mean, that's the most egregious crime of what they did to kill Grace. And I see that's where we're going to be heading next, to see if we get legislation. Even, I mean, you think of it, why do we need legislation?
To force DNRs on people that didn't ask for them, that didn't give their consent. That's all the time we have. I got to go. Thank you, Scott Schara. And ouramazinggrace.net. I just want to point out, thank you so much, Scott, for joining us. Remember,
you're welcome.
If DNR is forced on people, and the same agenda of forcing yard signs on people's yards with razor blades, you know, the same attitude, the same idea. That's all the time we have. Tune in again for Spouting Off this coming Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern.